You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL branch of the Locked On Podcast Network, your daily Broncos podcast. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the National Football League, and columnist over at predominantlyorange.com covering all things orange and blue related. You can shoot me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL.
And I'm Cameron Parker, and you guys can follow me on Twitter as well, at Cameron Parker PO. We're going to be talking about the expectations a little bit of or perception, the expectations of the offense, but also maybe the perception maybe of the Denver Broncos team, Cody.
Yeah, it's a big episode today, like you said, segment number one. What is the perception of the Broncos according to the outside world? Those outside of Denver, those within Denver, there's a lot of views, a lot of takes regarding how the Broncos organization is run right now. We're going to talk about that perception and maybe a little bit of an insight as to will that affect the Broncos' ability to lure in free agents in the future? That is a big, big question right now. We're going to take a look at on tonight's episode of the show. We're going to hear from Derek Wolfe. He had some very interesting things to share with Nikki Jobvala of The Athletic today. We'll share what he said a little bit later here on the show. Segment number two, we're going to talk about the Broncos offense. You know, what is the hope and expectation from all of us? What do we hope to see from this Broncos offense following the bye week? Can they get the receivers involved more? What about the offensive line? What about Case Keenum? Will the run game thrive or will it weaken due to the Broncos offensive line? We talk about that in segment number two. And segment number three, we're going to play a little game of what if. What if John Harbaugh, the rumors are in Baltimore, they're going to part ways with him. We'll definitely talk about that if that happens. Certainly some big news if it does at the end of the season. But the Broncos also might be parting ways with Vance Joseph at the end of the season. So we're playing a game of what if. If John Harbaugh was fired from the Ravens and Vance Joseph was fired from the Broncos, would John Harbaugh be a good fit here in Denver? We piece it together. We play a little bit of a devil's advocate here on tonight's episode of Locked On Broncos. I think really looking into this, Cam, let's jump right into it, too, because I think that when you look on Twitter, and look, there's some news that's been dropping here in Broncos country, and I think it's important we talk about it. Earlier today, Marquette King had released a video kind of detailing what happened, what led to him kind of being released from Denver, the injury he had experienced against Kansas City on that Monday night football game with his adductor. I think it really kind of raised some questions because we saw how the Broncos, you know, a lot of questions coming to concern with how the Broncos are being run, you know, from the coaching staff to the upper level management in terms of players and their say and their overall impact inside the locker room. We saw that with Demaryius Thomas being very vocal about that after his trade to the Houston Texans. And then we saw this from Marquette King today, who released a video and said really they wanted to change the way that he was going to punt. He said naturally he's just a punter. He lines up, he punts it to a spot, and he goes from there. If he's on the left hash, he'll punt it left. If he's on the right hash, he'll punt it right. He said really the direction he goes, but he said that they were having him angle the ball as if you were going to punt left and then to kind of contort his leg a little bit to swing it to kick it to the left side of the field. So really he says he got injured during that. He also got injured after the first punt to Tyreek Hill where he brought it up the sideline. Pretty big return. Got out of bounds. He said something that, you know, his leg really hurt. He couldn't move. He couldn't drive. And all of a sudden, you know, the Broncos defense got off the field. The offense was on the field. And then there was third down, fourth down, and it was time to punt again. And that's where we saw that really, really bad punt by Marquette King. I believe it was a 29-yarder, if I'm not mistaken. So really, at this point, there is some questions right now in Broncos country. And we'll get to the Derek Wolfe thing here in a second because he had a very interesting quote with Nikki Jobvala of The Athletic today in Denver. I think we got to talk about the perception from what it looks like on the outside. I think, based on all the moves that have happened, the bad negative publicity that the Broncos have faced, the organization, the coaches, due to some of these moves with Demaryius Thomas and now Marquette King, and just the way the season's been going, there's frustration that's mounted up. From the outside looking in, Cam, it almost feels like if you're the Broncos, I feel like you'd be really concerned right now with what, you know, impending free agents might view, or even like players on your current team that's contracts might be up. what they are viewing of the organization and if that will affect whether or not they decide to go somewhere else or even go to Denver for that matter if they are a free agent.
It's a scary proposition because you don't want a team that is a distraction. And what I mean by that is you don't want, you know, just a lot of pressure coming from upstairs. You don't want a lot of pressure or potential, let's put those quotes, maybe blame being thrown around on certain players by your head coach. We don't want that. We want a stable franchise. And that seems to be the sort of perception that the Denver Broncos have outside of Denver. And we don't want that. We want a stable franchise. But it's unfortunate because they're losing. And when you're losing, all of that piles up, you know, the thoughts as far as going and looking toward the future. And that, in essence, was the thing that sort of tilted the Demaryius Thomas move. But with him in and everything that it was handled there, and then now you start to see Marquette King with the comments that he made, and we'll touch on Derek Wolfe, obviously. But it does beg the question, is it a truth or is it a falsehood? We actually don't exactly know that answer. I mean, we can talk and debate about it till the dogs come home, but we don't necessarily know that answer. But it's an unfortunate situation. But the best way to ever quelch or squelch any sort of bad rap or bad talk is to go out there and get wins.
Yeah, and that's certainly definitely a priority. Vance Joseph has said this week that our team is desperate to win. And really, when you get to a point of desperation, it can be viewed in many different ways. And I think when Vance Joseph says that, Broncos fans, the Broncos have played better this year than they were last year. They're more competitive this year. I think they're a better team this year than they were last year. However, that still doesn't matter to a lot of people on the outside. Even on the media, sports radio, we hear a lot of talk about it. You hear it from local guys. I mean, I hear it here in Grand Junction all the time from some of these local guys on our, you know, local stations here, the Jim Davis Show. I hear these guys just talk about these weird little twists and turns. I don't necessarily think they really understand the magnitude of what some of these things are meaning right now to the organization long term. I think for the Broncos, in this case, it has definitely hurt them. And in order to fix that a little bit, yeah, winning games helps. But regarding this staff and the way that, you know, the perception is the way that the organization is being handled and some of these moves, still, I you have players on your roster. We saw the Instagram drama or the, you know, the conspiracy with Chris Harris Jr. liking some of these comments on Instagram where it pretty much said that he might be looking, you know, he wouldn't be surprised if he was out of there, you know, liking what comments fans are saying about maybe what he's thinking. That right there, it just goes to tell you there is some evident tension inside that locker room. There is some frustration. When you're not winning games, there's frustration. I get it. Chris Harris Jr., these guys, they've been used to winning ever since they came into the National Football League with the Broncos. They've been used to winning, and now they're going through this period of time where things are a little bit of a struggle for them, and I don't blame them necessarily because I get it. The NFL, you got to win games. We heard from Vance Joseph yesterday, you're judged in the NFL by winning games, but really, I think perception is a major influence in terms of the NFL free agency. I think the Broncos nailed the draft in 2018. Can they do that in 2019? Can they convince some of these guys that may be free agents in 2019 to, hey, come to Denver. We're building something special here. But as of right now, with all this bad media and publicity, I don't think many people are going to be wanting to come to Denver specifically due to the way that things have been handled with Demaryius Thomas, for example. Marquette King was just signed as a free agent in the offseason. That's kind of unfortunate. But
well, you know, the thing for me, and you brought up social media, and in some ways it's kind of twofold because social media is also a player's outside brand. You know, it's what they look like outside of when they're not in football. So it also is how do you carry yourself? And so it sort of lends to maybe this Coursera thing was true, but you know, and to all the young players and everything that's out there, carry yourselves appropriately. I mean, you know, carry yourselves a little bit as professionals. And I think as far as, you know, sometimes players get a little bit carried away at times on some of the tweets and everything that gets sent out there. So just be a little bit cautious on some of the stuff that that gets sent out there.
I'll play a little devil's advocate here. You know, I get it. This is a time we have, you know, the Players Tribune, we have the Athletic, we have all these different outlets in which players express themselves. And to be honest with you, I think players operate under the microscope of, we know what can get us in trouble with our team, but we know what we can say to a point where, you know, it's our opinion, it's our truth, and we can say it in a way we won't get in trouble. I think we're seeing that from many, many players. And we're going to take a quick look here with what Derek Wolf had said. Derek Wolf sat down with Nikki Jabvala today, a great article piece that she had published over there at the Athletic Denver that came out today. And it said from Derek Wolf, "I thought we were going to have a quarterback. I thought we were going to keep a lot of the guys on the defense. That's why I took that pay cut, a huge pay cut, because I wanted to stay here and be a part of the best defense to play it. I didn't know that Wade Phillips was going to end up leaving. I thought I was going to have Wade for a while. Nothing against Joe Woods. I was just really comfortable with where I was at, and then everything changed." That, to me, is a key example of the growing pains I think we're experiencing and that we're witnessing right now with this Denver Broncos team. And certainly, we want to hear your thoughts, so tweet us at Cody Rourke NFL, at Cameron Parker PO, at Locked On Broncos, to give us a little bit of insight how you feel about the perception of the Broncos based on some of these information that's been disclosed by players, former players, so on and so forth. We'll share our best responses on Thursday's episode of Locked On Broncos. We'll have our crossover tomorrow with the Los Angeles Chargers, Locked On Chargers. Guys, very excited about that as well, but we're going to jump into segment number two in just a moment, taking a look at the Broncos offense and maybe some of our hopes that we have. But before we do that, the Locked On Podcast Network is doing amazing things with social media. You have Twitter and the Locked On NFL Net handle, where you get all of the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering their NFL team on one feed. It's absolutely amazing. During games, live in-game tweeting, breaking news, and to get the local perspective from your NFL teams. And on Instagram, we have Locked On NFL Net. They give you the biggest stories in just 1 minute on your Instagram stories in bite-sized feeds, and they get the longer cuts of some of the biggest stories in your feeds as well. Make sure you follow Locked On NFL Net on both Twitter and Instagram to stay in the loop on what's going on in the Locked On NFL branch. All right, Cam, I think we need to talk about this Broncos offense a little bit. We kind of alluded to the Broncos O-line yesterday in the episode of the podcast, but I think we have to take a look at this Broncos offense a little bit more in depth, and I think we have to be realistic. With this seven-game stretch, you have three home games, you have four of those games on the road, you have two matchups with the Chargers, you have one with the Raiders, one with the Browns, one with the Steelers, and one with the Bengals. You have some of these games here I think that you can steal. I think there are some trap games, as we talked about yesterday, but I think really the determination how the Broncos do in the seven-game stretch has a lot to do with how their offense plays. So for me, I'm going to give my hope for this Broncos O following the bye week. And one of my biggest hopes for this team offensively, I want to see the Broncos utilize to the strengths of some of their players. You have to get Case Keenum rolling out in the pocket on the run, throwing. He's better while being mobile and throwing the football than he is standing back in the pocket. And I would say you might want to do that a little bit more too, almost like a sprint out, because the Broncos O-line right now looks scary. We talked about it yesterday. You have Connor McGovern going from right guard to center. You have, you know, Billy Turner stepping in at right guard, Joe Vadier right tackle. You have Max Garcia or Elijah Wilkinson at left guard, and you have Garrett Bowles, who's been, you know, a roller coaster this year, at left tackle. The Broncos have, I don't think they can afford to really just keep Case Keenum back in the pocket and try to make some of these throws. We see a lot of teams dialing up blitzes on the interior and also off of one edge side, playing some man-to-man coverage, too high safety, rolling that guy to a strong side, and they're doing defenses are disguising a little bit what they're doing against this Broncos offense, but they're also blitzing or dropping back into coverage. I think you have to roll out with Case Keenum, play to his strengths as a quarterback, and make those plays happen. Obviously, you have to have an equal balance of the run game. If it's working, you can't go away from the the run game. You can obviously take shots here and there. Key times and situations as coaches, we look to go for a shot. You take a shot on first down or, at, you know, if they're after a big penalty. Let's say there's a defensive pass interference call. What happens is the next play offensively, like, all right, we're going to take a shot here. And you test the defense out a little bit. The Broncos have to do a little bit more of that. I think they have to be a little bit more diverse offensively, because if you don't, if they keep playing the same shell they've been playing offensively from the first half of the season, you carry that over into the second half of the season, I think the defense is going to really adjust to it a little bit, and they're going to dial up more pressure. I think you have to change and you have to evolve based on what the NFL is throwing at you. The Broncos offense right now is definitely a little bit in shambles on the offensive line. I think it will help getting Deshaun Hamilton back, but my hope, Cam, for this Broncos offense, you know, minimize the turnovers, minimize the holding penalties, or, you know, the false starts. Anytime you back your offense up, you kind of set yourself back. You set yourself up for failure a little bit. I want this Broncos team to come out a little bit revitalized heading into the second half of the season.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned Case Keenum, because as far as rolling out to the right and playing to his strengths, because that's exactly what the Minnesota Vikings did. That's exactly what the Minnesota Vikings did. They played to his strength. And we talked a little bit about some of his strengths yesterday of relying on the tight end, you know, of what we expect coming out of the bye week. I think it sort of continues with that, Cody, where we want Case Keenum to utilize the tight ends and in essence throw maybe a little bit more deep balls to Courtland Sutton, but obviously expand his route tree a little bit with Courtland Sutton. But I'm going to go back, because we talked a little bit about Case Keenum, you know, with you, and I mentioned about Case Keenum yesterday. I want to talk a little bit about Philip Lindsay, because the one thing, you know, we praise all the time as far as Philip Lindsay's capability to blow us away with running the ball in between the tackles and showing his toughness. I think one area that we certainly might see more of with the Denver Broncos offense is, will we see an unleash of Philip Lindsay in the passing game a little bit more after the bye week? I think, especially with Royce Freeman coming back, you know, we certainly appreciate what Philip Lindsay's done in between the tackles, but we know that his best trait and best asset as far as a player is concerned is being a receiving threat out of the backfield. So I think Philip Lindsay getting some catches and maybe even some screen plays, maybe even some halfback screens to Philip Lindsay might actually be a huge benefit to the offense and as far as moving those chains.
I absolutely agree. I think the Broncos really just have to solidify things a little bit more. You know, I mentioned it yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos come out to open up this game against the Chargers, you know, in a two tight end set, and you also have Philip, you know, Royce Freeman or Andy Janovich, or, you know, Andy Janovich and Philip Lindsay, either or in the I formation. You have those guys setting up with lead. You can offset him, you know, Andy Janovich off in the offset I, lead him up through the A gap or the B gap interior to get to that inside backer. You're going to have your guard center usually double team down on that nose tackle up into the second level. I think the Broncos are going to get a little bit creative, but, you know, if you really want to plug the run a little bit, go two tight end set. You can go Andy Janovich in the I formation in that two tight end set, and you can kind of utilize a little bit of dink and dunk here and there with some play action plays. You can set up a screenplay out of it. Not many people are going to expect it. The tight ends really got involved in the two tight end set when the Broncos played the Texans, and that's something I hope to see, and I think we can really kind of look forward to this Sunday as the Broncos travel to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. Philip Rivers and the crew down there at the StubHub Center. We'll have you covered here at the Locked On Broncos podcast with a post-game report, as well as a Locked On Broncos, Locked On Chargers crossover show that airs here tomorrow on the Locked On Broncos podcast. Very excited about that as well. Here in just a second, we're going to jump to segment number three. We're going to take a look at a little bit of game of what if. What if John Harbaugh was the guy that the Broncos needed to grab? And that's something that we're going to talk about in just a second. But before we get to that, I want to give a shout out to my man over there, Adam Mattis at Locked On Nuggets. The Nuggets play the Rockets tonight, and it is the reveal of the Skyline jerseys, the alternate jerseys. They're bringing it back. They got the logo on the court. The Pepsi Center is going to be rocking tonight, and they have Marcus Camby as his special guest. The Nuggets are going to be doing this for a certain series of games, and the uniforms are so fresh, so nice. They sold out from Altitude Authentics in just under 5 minutes. So stay tuned on the lookout there, Altitude Authentics, for more information on the jerseys. I need to get one myself. Can the Nuggets get back on track tonight with a win over the Rockets? They absolutely need it in order to propel themselves and to keep staying ahead of the pack. This is important for playoff positioning early on, as it may come down to the wire at the end of the regular season for the Nuggets. Adam Ottis, host of Locked On Nuggets, has you covered with the post-game report following the Nuggets-Rockets game on Wednesday's edition of the show. Check him out. Okay, well, we're going to play a little game of what if right here, and I like playing what if, even though it's just what if, it's hypotheticals. I always think it's important to talk about, though, because really you have to look at the realistic scenario for what things are right now with the Broncos. The Broncos are struggling this year. They're a little bit more competitive than they were last year, but the results are not changing for them overall. So let's play a little game of what if. What if at the end of the season, the Broncos decided, you know what, we're going to part ways with Vance Joseph. What type of coaching candidates do we have out there on the market? I don't think you're going to go for a college guy. I know John Elway's been fascinated, according to reports, about having a possible college-style offense for this Broncos team. The NFL is starting to adapt a little bit where college-style offenses are ruling the league. And so the Broncos are going to get back on track with that, because when you go through and you look at history, the Broncos, they had to revamp their defense. They had to revamp their offense. They did just that. And I think John Elway's ready to do the same thing once again. So let's take a look. You're not going to go college. Pro guys, you don't really have many options out there besides some possible first-time head coach candidates. John DeFilippo down there in Minnesota, I think it's unlikely that he goes anywhere. You have, obviously, Dave Tube from Kansas City. He's always been a guy that's been talked about every year about being a possible head coach. Bieniemy, you have the Bieniemy. I think, really, the main guy that I want, that I'm excited about, if the possibility arose, was John Harbaugh, because reports out of Baltimore say that they will part ways with John Harbaugh at the end of the season. Now, let's take a look at the tail of the tape here, Cam, and I'll get your thoughts on this. John Harbaugh has been coaching for the Ravens for the last 10 years, and really, there's been a lot of productivity with the team. And he started off his first season, they went 11-5. They made it to the playoffs. They won two playoff games there, and in 2009, they kind of had a little bit of a setback, 9-7, and then from 2010 to 2012, the Broncos beat them one of those years, and then also, it happened to be that 2012 season, Denver on the road, Chris Harris Jr. pick six on Joe Flacco, going into the end zone. The Broncos win that, but then the Baltimore Ravens got the last laugh in the playoffs. We'll never forget that game. Unfortunately, it's a nightmare for Broncos fans. But from 2010 to 2012, the Ravens, for 2 years, 2010, 2011, won 12 games, 12-4 record, back-to-back years, and then 10-6 in 2012, the year they won the Super Bowl. After that, they went 8-8, back to 10-6, and then they had a drop-off year in 2015 at 5-11, the year that the Broncos won the Super Bowl. So a little bit, the last 4 or 5 years for John Harbaugh and the Ravens have been an up and down roller coaster. It's been a struggle. They've been dealing with injuries. They've dealt with not really having a defense in certain regards. They've been a little bit more competitive this year. They're at a better position right now than the Broncos are. At one point, we thought the Ravens were one of the best teams in the NFL based on how they're playing. They're very tough. They went on. They beat Pittsburgh at one point. I think this is the move that makes the most sense for the Broncos, I think, because he brings in a culture. We mentioned the ties between John Harbaugh and Gary Kubiak, who now has a front office role with the Broncos. I think this makes the most sense out of any possible move if the Broncos decide to part ways with Vance Joseph.
It is certainly the cream of the crop, the prize for myself also. I mentioned Bieniemy's name like down in October, but people were getting all up in arms about it. You know, the whole reason why I name dropped it is just the Cardo ties, and just if the Denver Broncos wanted to go to a young offensive guy, but, you know, and obviously Colorado ties, but for me personally, that move just screams an offensive version of Vance Joseph to me, a guy that's going to come in with really no experience. And so that's why maybe the only other veteran coach that might potentially be available is Jim Schwartz, the guy down with the Philadelphia Eagles, and obviously he's a defensive coordinator. So then you kind of play, you know, the offensive and defensive game. You know, do you want to go after an offensive guy or a defensive guy? But again, you start looking at the dots and you start looking at the connections, like you said, Cody, and it all falls back to that the ties with you know, John Elway and Gary Kubiak down there in the front office. So that is the move that makes the most sense. And John Harbaugh is a smart guy. So if they ultimately do part ways, the Baltimore Ravens do, my guess is the Broncos and John Harbaugh will undoubtedly have mutual interest. Will it happen? I don't know. But, you know, John Harbaugh, he's going to the way that I've been trying to talk about it with friends and such is it's like a reverse effect, but also the same effect as far as when the Broncos decided to go after Gary Kubiak when he was a coach. They, you know, so there was that whole spiel with Gary Kubiak that when he had left, you know, he was going to retire. He was at actually he was an offensive coordinator with the Baltimore Ravens when this all happened. And then the Broncos decided that, you know, we obviously believe who we know is going to be our guy. So we're going to interview some candidates. And sure enough, Gary Kubiak was ended up being that guy. And so I don't know if the Harbaugh thing is going to fall out that way, but he certainly makes the most sense. And so it's going to be interesting to see. Now, the interesting dynamic, Cody, is if we're going to play that what if game. If John Harbaugh is the guy, what is the potential staff that could potentially be worked out with a guy like a Jim Harbaugh? You know, you start throwing out names like maybe a Todd Bowles if he gets the can down with the New York Jets. That I think that dynamic and just the two heads would be a very interesting one. Defensive coordinator, offensive mind with Harbaugh. I think that would be a very interesting pairing.
Yeah, certainly would, and we'll definitely play a little bit of devil's advocate down here later on in the road. Once the season progresses, some of these moves get made. The Broncos obviously have to do some soul-searching here. Depending on how the seven-game stretch goes for them, that's going to be a big indicator for what the Broncos decide to do the rest of the way. But we'll catch you tomorrow for another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. It's a Locked On Broncos, Locked On Chargers podcast, talking about the big game, what are we going to see from the Chargers offense against the Broncos D, and vice versa. We have all the action. All the predictions coming to you on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Thank you once again for tuning in. We're going to put a little survey out here on Twitter, a little anonymous Google survey to gauge a little bit of feedback on what we could do to make the Locked On Broncos podcast better for you, the listeners. We have a lot of support, but also we could always have room to improve. So be on the lookout. Tweet out the link. It's going to be on my Twitter page at Cody Rourke NFL, an anonymous Google survey. It's good for the feedback. Let us know what's going on, what you don't like, what we could improve on. That stuff's going to be very important to improve your overall listening experience of the Locked On Broncos podcast. I'm your host, Cody Rourke. Speaking for Cameron, we'll see you again for another episode of Locked On Broncos.